Hello, Daniel, and welcome to this new episode of Knowing Cernis. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Hello.
So let's start with a philosophical question, which is, Daniel, who are you?
My name is Daniel Wollmann. I am German. I was born in Germany in 1980. I have done school education and then studied electrical engineering, first of all, and then did a PhD in physics, in accelerator physics. During these studies, I did a foreign studies, and that's why I basically ended up in accelerator physics. So I went to Singapore for a year, got into contact with an accelerator, a very small one there, and that led me finally here. So to do accelerator physics and with a specialty on machine protection. So I'm working on the protection to ensure that the LHC, the accelerators here at CERN, don't destroy themselves. And part of this work is studying failure cases, studying failure cases also for the future when we do changes like in the HiLumi project, but also doing damage experiments, etc.
And how long have you been working at CERN?
I have been at CERN for 11 years now. So I came in 2009. It's now a long time.
Well, yeah. So could you tell me any anecdote from your experience as a CERNie?
I mean, maybe it's not really an anecdote. What I always remember and enjoy a lot is we have been doing experiments in the LHC or also in other accelerators. I remember the last big one. We started on a Monday. I just came out of back of holidays, and it was a damage experiment with my PhD student. And we started on Monday at 9 o'clock in the control room in the morning, and then we went on with our experiment till the next morning, 7 o'clock. And that was quite impressive. I mean, it was long, but it was very very nice. To get this all done in one go. And clearly the thing that is very special there, and I think this is a little bit an atmosphere also you get in the control room during the day. It's very busy, it's very lots of things happening, and that can also disturb quite a bit the progress, it needs quite a lot of focus then. But in the night, things calm significantly down. You are relatively there, only really the essential people in the control room. And things can, things move extremely smooth usually. And also the other thing is that besides the experiment you're doing, you have also much closer contact with the people who are with you there on the night shift. Because it's quite an intense time, and then and you're basically in the night. It's I love this atmosphere. You get a lot done, and you get also the more from the people who are around.
So in case there's something, what do you miss most from your city in Germany?
I think what I miss most is coming from a place where you have lots of different breweries. So it's very special for beer, this area, the local beer there. And what I also really love, and this is also a bit limited in regions, even in Germany, is potato dumplings. And this is two things that I'm missing, and it's difficult to get them here, but I'm enjoying them when I'm visiting back home.
So let's imagine the future now, because I'm gonna dream big. I'm gonna imagine myself writing a novel in Costa da Morte, why not? And now I would like to know, Daniel, what are the dreams of a physicist like you?
My first goal or dream is to help young people finding their purpose, finding their developing themselves, getting really to the best what they can achieve and want to achieve. This is what my heart is burning for, to allow people to become the person that they are. That they can be, and also this in person as personality, but also clearly in science, and to reach their full potential. So this is what is really on my heart. And what I really love doing in physics there, this is a little bit of a different point in there, is to discover the world, to discover God's creation, if you want to phrase it in a more spiritual way, through the methods of physics. So discover how things are made, describe them, and then open new doors to make the world better. And for me, making the world better, and there the two items come together, is not necessarily the big revolution, the big revolutionary discovery that this maybe would be nice to have, but it's also starting already in the small things. It starts in the how I work with my colleagues, with my students, with the people around me, and making this world already better now at the local point. So these are the two things that are on me, that I'm longing for.
So because I'm just a tourist of the science, and I would like to know how people from science perceive humanistic ideas such as beauty. So Daniel, where do you find beauty?
I find beauty in nature, in the wonders that are around us. So this can be during a hike in the forest, in the mountains here. This can be in diving in coral reefs or things like that. So this is for me really beautiful.
So the German playwright and poet Bertolt Brecht, sorry for the pronunciation, has a poem called Against Seduction. And I don't know if you've got with you some verses that you can read to us in German.
So I have I think it's the second verse. Lasst euch nicht betrügen, das Leben wenig ist, schlürft es in vollen Zügen, es wird euch nicht genügen, wenn ihr es lassen müsst.
Okay, now I would like to know what these verses suggest to you.
It's quite interesting. For me, what it suggests is that life in itself cannot satisfy me in my desires and my needs, because it's too short, it will never give me enough. And what it also suggests to me is it's brittle. It's not something, it can be lost very quickly. It's very short-term. Everything is fading in a certain way.
Okay. To continue with the German, if you could teach people from other countries a proverb that your parents or your grandparents used to say to you when you were a child, which one would it be?
So in German, it's Der Mensch denkt, Gott lenkt. It's one of these proverbs which come out of the Bible, because German is full of these ones. And it means basically the human beings think and plan, but God guides their step, guides move, decides what is happening. And what this means for me is that, yes, we can do our best and we can do our best planning, which is good and we are supposed to do, but there are a lot of things that we have which are not in our control, so which we only can partially influence or not influence at all, which doesn't mean that the first part is not also important. But it also means it relaxes, it takes some of the pressure off for me that I have to be in charge of everything, because there are lots of things that I'm not, and I have to accept it and I can accept it.
Our previous Cerny, Marc Apeans, left this question for you. Since she has the wish that she can make things quicker, she wanted to know if you could tell her how would you do things quicker in your field. And by this she meant science in general, but also physics, of course, and the development of technologies for those scientific experiments.
This is an interesting question, but not trivial. For me, what it stands and falls is focus. I mean, for me, the research that we're doing, or that I'm also doing lots of this, I mean, when I'm explaining this to my students, or let's turn it around. Often, after a while, I have this discussion with a young student and explain, okay, but we can't look this up in the textbook because nobody else has done it yet. There are other colleagues who've done something similar. We can learn from them. But no, there is no answer yet. This is why we do it. And that's why for me it's very difficult to say how do we do it faster, because how do you measure this? Because there's no, I mean, you don't necessarily always know already the outcome. For many things you know, but so there are, I mean, there are lots of practical things. But for me, what is important for this to do them faster, to be more efficient, means to be better focused, and that means not only myself, but also we as teams, we as CERN, to be focused behind the common vision. And if we are focused behind this common vision, we will have better results, and we will have them also faster.
Okay.
This is how I would answer this. But it's not as, I mean, there are many layers of this. How one can respond. I mean, one can respond very detailed on things that are taking my time, but on the other hand, I think this is what's important, at least for me, to be efficient, to have a common vision, and that we can really focus on this.
So, Daniel, now it's time to relax because we change our roles and you become the interviewer. So please feel free to ask whatever you wish to our next journey.
The question I would like to ask is, what do you, after many years, still admire at CERN the most?
Okay, that's a good question for a CERN-y.
Yeah, exactly.
And last but not least, if you could only recommend us a book, which one would it be?
A book that I quite like at the moment, I'm reading it, I'm not advancing fast enough, but is a book from, it's a German book, unfortunately. I'm not sure that it exists in English, but it might. From a guy called Michael Wolfson, and it's called Deutsch-Jüdische Glückskinder, German-Jewish lucky children. That's how you would translate it, probably direct.
Okay.
And it's a bit autobiographic, but it also describes experience with of this family in Germany, in Nazi Germany, in post-war times and up to today, the tensions between the modern Israel and the modern Germany, etc. So it's quite an I find it very interesting, also very interesting author who writes in a way and in a very nice way, and it touches a lot of places. I mean, parts of his family were, for example, from the town where I've grown up. So it's nice to read about it, and also challenging in some ways from a historic perspective.
Okay, thank you very much for the recommendation and also for the interview, because this was all. I hope you enjoy it.
Yes, thank you.